You can deal with it in one of several ways. There are some organizations that are trying to say no, but what they're finding is it doesn't work very well. With today's, 3G and 4G access, the users are going to be online connecting to your network whether you want them to or not. So it's best to just step up and start to deal with it directly. Because these devices are so much more user-friendly than devices we carried in the past, we find there's a big productivity add by adopting them because users, they use them all the time. They're at a restaurant at night and they're checking their email or they're working on a PowerPoint presentation on their iPad. And so there's just so much more you can do with these devices that it to me, it's well worth the trade-off of having to manage, a high number of devices per user, even though, of course, there are some pretty strong security concerns.
Well, walk me through this a couple, because we just we talked to a guy from Deloitte, one of the mucky mucks at Deloitte recently, and he was saying that, these devices, they're coming all the time. And it's funny, because when I posted the piece on our Facebook page, a bunch of people said, it's a waste of time. Is there a business reason to have all these devices connected? Is there a reason for it?
Well, there is, and there's a good reason for it. First of all, I don't think you can stop them connecting, whether it's connecting through a VPN connection and a public network or directly on a private network. The users are going to find a way to get access. But more importantly, it does offer them a highly usable, very interactive device. The multi-touch technology that's out there nowadays, suddenly my wife, who's a complete neophyte, is using an iPad and an iPhone every day when she hadn't checked her email in 6 months prior to this probably. And so it allows users to be connected in a way that they never were before. And I find that I am way more productive having my iPad on an airplane when I'm traveling, even in the back seat of a car. I'm working all the time. So the days of coming into work and working, 8 or 10 hours connected to a desktop are sort of gone. And I find that now, I sort of just balance my life realizing that I'm working 24 hours a day and I'm also having fun 24 hours a day. And these devices, they help enable that. Now, obviously, the complexity is, there's some pretty strong security concerns, and suddenly your device count has gone up from, one device per user to probably at least two or three, and that has some pretty unique challenges with it.
Part of this is there isn't that line between work and the rest of your life where that was true, say, 10, 15 years ago, that people are much more integrated these days.
Yeah, absolutely. They're more integrated. They're looking for every opportunity where they're idle to get a little bit of work done. You're expected to be connected sort of 24 hours a day, maybe other than when you sleep. And so because of that, these devices, they really do offer a way to get more from your employees, to get more time from them, more productivity. But there's a cost. There's a cost in terms of managing a higher number of devices. There are some simple things you should do to offer minimal security adds, but then there's a lot more you could do to really secure the environment. And I think an important point to notice there is that we really haven't started to see a lot of attacks from the hacking community toward these mobile devices and their access yet. But, it's coming. Once these devices become a little bit more mainstream, they won't be secure forever. Right now, we sort of have the advantage of saying, if it's an iPad, it's an Apple OS, it really, hasn't been hacked that much. There's not really a lot of viruses for it. And so we kind of lock down the physical devices and maybe don't worry about it too much from there. But those times are coming very quickly, so we need to be prepared for it.
I want to get to some of those sort of tips for folks who have to deal with this. But it does strike me that there are a lot. I mean, I saw a story. New Hampshire state government is the citizen legislature. They're not handing out paper with bills on it anymore. People have iPads, and that this is how they're dealing part of this increasingly paperless world. You don't need the paper anymore, and so they're figuring out ways of doing this in a more effective way. There are actual uses to this.
Oh, even at the airport, most people nowadays that I travel with, nobody prints their boarding pass anymore. They just have it up on their iPad or their BlackBerry, and they scan that as you go on the airplane, and you move on. I can't remember the last time that I you know, bought a stamp and use an actual letter to do anything. It's all email or it's electronic. You know, when I'm at the gym, I'm using my iPad and there's an app to keep track of what you're doing. I mean, it's such a part of my life as a just a connected, you know, sort of DT user that I don't know what I'd do without it. And my son, who's 17, is even more technically advanced in these areas than I am. To him, it's just an assumed part of life. So he always thinks, oh, I'm going to use my iPhone or iPad for that, before he would even consider doing it manually, because it's just sort of the culture he grew up in.
We're talking to Josh Stevens. He is the VP of Technology and the head geek for SolarWinds. There are a lot of challenges, and I know a lot of security concerns. How do you? What steps should one take? Both we talked about it from a user perspective, but also from the IT administrator, from the person who's in charge perspective. Start with the users. What should I do? I want to connect to the network. I know I can. But it's probably better to talk to the powers that be, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely better to talk to, you know, your IT management team and find out what are the official corporate policies on, you know, personally owned mobile devices. You know, the easiest thing you can do and the first thing you should do is put a password on the device. So if you set it down, you know, the screen locks in a few minutes and you require a passcode to get past that. Most organizations that allow you know, personally owned computing devices, mobile devices to be connected, will enforce a policy that requires you to do that. But either way, even if you only use it for your own personal needs, setting that passcode is the first step in securing the device. Because, you know, if you've owned an iPhone or an iPad or an Android OS-based device for long, you've probably owned more than one. You know, you lose them, you drop them, someone steals it from you at a restaurant or, you know, whatever. So you want to secure that, secure your email, any passwords you may have cached for your banking account or things like that, and especially in the corporate environment. That's really the first step to make sure you do. You know, beyond that, organizations have lots of different options on how they want to deal with these devices. Some organizations build a separate sort of parallel guest network or less secure network, and they limit all access from that environment to the corporate network, but they allow the minimal access that's needed to be efficient on those mobile computing devices, and that's where they connect. Some organizations allow you to connect all the way into the true corporate network. And then by doing that, you know, they really have to think about how they're going to secure traffic from those devices and how they're going to ensure that the user who, that they've given access to is the actual user of the device at that time.
And part of this is just establishing a policy. If you don't have a policy for these mobile devices, the power, this is something that's important to have to just say to your folks, okay, we understand you're probably going to do this anyway. Let's make sure we do it in an effective a way that works for the organization as well.
Chris, you're absolutely right. I mean, the worst thing you could do is sort of stick your head in the sand and pretend the problem doesn't exist, or, you know, trick yourself into thinking that the users aren't going to find a way to become connected. And, you know, it might be that the user is technical and they find a way to go around the fact that you haven't given access. Or what happens in a lot of organizations is you sort of avoid a policy for a while and you suspect maybe it's happening, but you really don't know about it. And then some of the executives end up with iPads, and next thing you know, you're having to provide them access directly.
And, so that's often that will happens, be where it starts, is at the, it's
that's
a
exactly
top-down
right.
thing.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So you've got to have the policies put in place to give yourself a little bit of breathing room. And, you know, again, it's sort of part of what we're seeing out in the industry, which is that we are seeing an explosion in the number of devices on our networks and on the Internet as a whole. You know, Cisco has estimated that they should see over 1 trillion Internet-connected devices by the year 2013. And, you know, I was just thinking about it, even in my own, you know, my home, you know, I've probably got 30 or 40 devices on the home network there at the house if you add iPhones and iPads and TVs and whatnot. And, you know, it really enhances what we have to think about as an IT organization and how we manage the environment. It puts new precedents on things like IPv6 because we are going to run out of capacity with the way that we've currently architected the environment, because not only are the number of users growing, assuming our organization is growing, but the number of devices is growing exponentially because of the way people are accessing technology.
Anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
You know, the only other thing that you might want to talk about a little bit is, you know, video is one of the technologies that really changes how we think about corporate networks and effectively how we manage them. And video is also an integrated component in these mobile computing devices. You know, if you're using an iPad or an iPhone, you're probably going to be using video as well. And that has some pretty serious implications to, you know, the available bandwidth on a corporate network, both how they access that from a public network. And that's something that, you know, Cisco and SolarWinds and, you know, all the leaders in the technology space are really trying to sort of pinpoint right now and think about how we're going to help our users grow as these demands grow.
Well, and it's something similar to what happened with photos. Now everyone has their cameras with them because it's integrated with your smartphone. Most people do. And so you're seeing just this proliferation of pictures out there. And you're starting to see that with photos and with on your iPhone, you can video chat with other iPhone users. Skype now has video right on your iPhone. So that one just has to believe that that's going to increasingly be more of the case.
That's exactly right, and it's a great productivity tool. I mean, we have offices all over the world. There's a significant advantage in being able to talk to someone face-to-face over a video call versus just doing a teleconference. And the fact that I can do that over my iPhone or from my PC using Skype, first of all, it's really hard to block. It's practically impossible to block Skype access on a corporate network. And it means your users are going to find a way to do it. And once they do, then they tell their friend about it. And next thing you know, it's exploded. And you've got hundreds of users doing video in real time to each other across the corporate network. And that's traffic you didn't really plan for. And it's also traffic that needs a very responsive network to work correctly.